You would not call Romeo and Juliet the world's most famous fun-loving couple, but they surely were among the most passionate and inspirational. Their tragic love story prompted many other passionate artworks, musical ones in particular, many works written by, no surprise, the romantic composers. Commentator Miles Hoffman brought in a stack of Romeo and Juliet music the other day and sat down to play them for NPR's Bob Edwards. Alas, Mr. Edwards is out today with a bad cold, otherwise he'd be telling you this himself. But he and Miles Hoffman made this recorded Valentine. A cautionary note, get ready for many violins, starting with this fantasy overture by Tchaikovsky.
It was Tchaikovsky's first great piece. What's interesting is that it wasn't his idea. Somebody said, hey, why don't you write a piece on Romeo and Juliet? And Tchaikovsky said, sure.
Pretty lush.
Pretty lush, pretty sweeping. It's a sound that, in a way, is almost a cliché now, but it wasn't a cliché when he wrote this music back in 1869. So it's set a standard in some ways for what we think of as love music.
And Berlioz weighed in here, too?
Berlioz definitely weighed in. He weighed in before Tchaikovsky. In 1827, Berlioz went to a performance. Well, he went to two performances, Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet. He saw them performed in Paris in English. It's actually kind of interesting because he didn't speak any English, but he was totally overwhelmed. He wandered around in the streets for days afterwards, if you to believe his memoirs. He fell in love with the actress who played Ophelia and Juliet.
Well, who wouldn't?
That's right. Well, but he married her.
Ah.
See, that's a little bit of difference. He decided that he was going to marry her, and he did. They didn't actually live happily ever after, but Berlioz was the definition of a romantic figure. And what he wrote was almost like an oratorio on Romeo and Juliet. He wrote a piece for solo voices, chorus, and a huge orchestra. What's fascinating about this Romeo and Juliet is that for the love music, the heart of the piece, you might say, Berlioz decided that even with these vocal soloists and chorus and these large forces, he didn't want words. He only wanted instrumental music because he felt that words would be too limiting.
I like that better. That's what I'd want on the stereo if Juliet came over.
Yes. Do you have plans to see her later? It's interesting. Berlioz, he loved Shakespeare so much. He was comparing French authors with Shakespeare, and he said, our poets, he referred to La Fontaine and Molière, are rich continents. Shakespeare is an entire world.
There are opera versions.
Yes, not as many as you would think. The most famous operatic version of Romeo and Juliet is by Charles Gounod. His Romeo and Juliet opera, I came across a nice quotation, it's been called a love duet with occasional interruptions. That was the balcony scene, Bob, and in French.
Well, the language of the play is so beautiful. Do you need anybody else's words, or is it only beautiful in English?
Well, that's an interesting point. I think we'd have to ask somebody who only knows it in translation. Think of all the works that we only know in translation. Is Dostoevsky or Tolstoy only beautiful in Russian? I don't know. Romeo and Juliet is the Mount Everest of love stories. So I suppose that composers through the years may have had some trepidation about attempting to climb that particular mountain.
Didn't Leonard Bernstein write some Romeo and Juliet?
Well, he did, but for Leonard Bernstein, the Capulets and the Montagues became the Sharks and the Jets. There we go. It was originally supposed to be called East Side Story, Leonard Bernstein's musical. It was Jerome Robbins.
Moved across town.
It did. Well, because it was supposed to be. This is interesting. The idea that Jerome Robbins had was a conflict between the Jews and the Catholics in New York. And it was going to take place on the East Side. But then when Bernstein was in L.A. in the 50s at some point, he read an article about Mexican gangs and Anglo gangs, and that gave him the idea for what became West Side Story with the Puerto Rican gang and the Anglo gang. But there's some pretty beautiful love music in West Side Story as well.
I don't know about those two. I don't think it's going to work out.
No, it does end badly. But we're lucky that this beautiful story has also inspired composers. I suppose you could actually say that all beautiful music is Romeo and Juliet, because all music that moves us is somehow or other, if not actually about love, it's about something that connects with love somewhere in us.
Miles Hoffman is violist and artistic director of the American Chamber Players and author of the NPR Classical Music Companion. He spoke with NPR's Bob Edwards. On his way out of the studio, Miles warned us that music lovers everywhere would feel cheated if we did not play the Prokofiev. Now, we are equal opportunity romantics around here. So to close, a selection from Prokofiev's ballet, Romeo and Juliet. There's a complete listing of all the music at npr.org. From NPR News, it's Morning Edition, the technical director, Brian Jarbo. Audio technicians include Tom Carpenter, Guy Knapper, Stacey Abbott, Renee Pringle, Kevin Langley, Mark Greenhouse, Dennis Nielsen, Gary Henderson, and Arthur Halliday-Laurent. The executive producer is Ellen McDonald. Valentine's to all. Morning Edition's theme music written by B.J. Lederman, arranged by Jim Pugh. Bob Edwards will be back on Monday. I'm Susan Stamberg. Thank you.